This is Fire Shut Up In My Bones, bringing to the world the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned to this evening's program entitled, Jesus Did Not Go to Hell. Jesus Did Not Go to Hell. Good evening, and thank you for joining our program. And I would like to address this blasphemous notion that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, burned in hell or went to hell. That is not stated in the Word of God. And with the help of our Lord, I attempt to destroy that blasphemous notion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're here to defend your name, Lord. Whatever type of foolishness that the devil throws out, we will use your double-edged sword, your divine word, the Bible, to defend you, Lord. Not that you need it, Lord, but we want to speak up for you, Lord, to those who want to defame your name with stupid things like this, Lord. Lord, you're a pure God. You never had sin in your life. You could not sin. You did not sin. Therefore, you never went to a sinful hell. Please bless my lips, Lord, with this. Bless us tonight as we bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn into your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, and we'll cover our first point. He was the pure sacrificial lamb. That's in Exodus chapter 12. What does that mean? He was the pure sacrificial lamb. Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb for our sins on the cross. He was pure. By pure, I mean sinless. There was no fault in him. So in Exodus chapter 12, we see the Passover instituted by God. What was happening here, the plague, there was a plague that God was going to execute on Egypt, which was the execution, the death of the firstborn in Egypt, to avoid having their child, their firstborn being killed by the death angel, they were to take a lamb without blemish, kill that innocent lamb, and take the blood and apply it to the doorpost of Israel's house while living in Egypt. The death angel will pass by the door, and once he sees the innocent blood of the lamb applied to the doorpost, he'll pass on by. If the blood wasn't on the doorpost, then the death angel will take the life of the firstborn. That's what happened to you and I. For those who called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, the sacrificial blood of the lamb was applied upon our bodies. Therefore, we get to go to heaven. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. The lamb must be perfect, without spot, without sin. This is a picture of that. A male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. So that's what that story is about. Exodus chapter 12, read that. Another example of a sacrificial animal having no blemish or a spot is in Leviticus 22. There are many examples of this, but I'll just touch on two for now. On our first point, he was the pure sacrificial lamb. Leviticus chapter 22, starting in verse 18. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel, that will he offer his oblation for all his vows and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering. Okay, so let me keep reading. You shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall be not acceptable for you. And whatsoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, to accomplish his vow or free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. So once again, the sacrificial, so back in the Old Testament, prior to Jesus coming to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, they had to do a temporary atonement for their sins. So what they did, they took an innocent animal without spot or blemish to be killed on the behalf of Israel's sins. It was the temporary atonement for their sins. They did this looking forward to the coming Messiah who will die on the cross for their sins, shed his blood on the cross for our sins, their sins, and that will be the permanent atonement for their sins. They will no longer have to sacrifice animals. And throughout the Old Testament, you see examples of that. The sin atonement, this atonement, putting their hands on a goat, the scapegoat, an innocent animal to pass by and take away their sins temporarily. Okay, so the Bible says, without the remission of sins, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That means if there's no blood sacrifice, the sin cannot be forgiven. So that's what they did back in those days, believing that Jesus will come to this earth to die on the cross for their sins. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So just as the sacrifice for man's sins had to be without spot and blemish, Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb without spot and blemish. Okay, a good example of that, let's turn to Peter. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, 19, describing Jesus. First Peter chapter 1 verse 19, it says there, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So back in the Old Testament, they took an animal without blemish or spot to be killed on the behalf of their sins. That was a temporary atonement for their sins. Their permanent atonement was Jesus' blood on the cross for our sins. And guess what? He was without spot or blemish. Okay? So just as the sacrifice for man's sin had to be without spot and blemish, Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb without spot and blemish. That's why John said this in John chapter 1, verse 29 about our Lord. So let me recap. The sacrifices took place in the Old Testament was a temporary atonement for their sins and looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. That's why Jesus is called the sacrificial lamb. They were sacrificing animals in the Old Testament. And guess what? Jesus had to be sacrificed on the cross for our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. This happened, and this is the permanent atonement for our sins, not temporary atonement for our sins. Okay, so he was the pure sacrificial lamb. So we're still under that point, right? How was he a pure sacrificial lamb? Well, he was brought before the priest and tried by the priest and Pilate. This is what Pilate had to say about Jesus. Go to Luke chapter 23. So here comes the lamb to be slaughtered for the sins of the world. Luke 23. Okay, this is Jesus talking. I'm sorry, this is Pilate talking to Jesus. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest, the priests were there. Now, back in the Old Testament, they'll examine the sacrificial animal, make sure it doesn't have spot or blemish. That the spot and blemish represents sin. Okay, the animal wasn't supposed to have that. This is what was going on here. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Jesus was brought before the priest and the Pilate to be tried. Jesus was declared innocent and without fault before the priest and the people, proof that Jesus was the sacrificial blood, the sacrifice for our sins. That is why in Isaiah 53 verse 7, it was predicted saying, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Jesus was slaughtered on the cross for our sins. His blood washed away our sins. And because of that, we can go to heaven. Okay? Another example under our first point, he was the pure sacrificial lamb, was when he got led of the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Now we've read this before, but please don't skip over it. There's some very important things here. And my dad pointed out to me about the Holy Spirit leading Jesus to be tempted. It's very fascinating. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the what? Read it with me. Spirit, capital S, the third person of the Godhead. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit to be deliberately tested by the devil. I'll read in my notes again. The Holy Spirit led Jesus deliberately to be tested by the devil. This was to prove that Jesus is the second Adam. He was the perfect Lamb of God and the only permanent atonement for our sins. Reading on. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came, that's the devil, came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." Okay, so he was tempted by the devil. The devil was trying to say, "Let me see if I can get his human side to fall. If I could get Jesus to fall, then he will have a spot and blemish on him, and he will not be worthy to die on the cross for man's sins. If he had gotten Jesus to sin, then we'll be permanently on our way to hell, and there will be no escape from hell." But guess what? Jesus did not sin. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh them up into a holy city. He takes Jesus up and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple. I take the Bible literally. I believe that he actually grabbed Jesus and picked him up and put him on the pinnacle of the temple to show him the world. And he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again, the devil, you're not supposed to tempt God, all right? And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Right now, the devil is the small g, the little god of this world. It says, "The God of this world hath blinded the eyes of men." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve." And the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus came out sinless, faultless. He did not fall. Let me read some verses proving that Jesus has no sin under our first point. He was the pure sacrificial lamb. So let's read some verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Jesus did not sin. Hebrews 4:15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." The devil tried to tempt him, tried to get him into sin. But guess what? Jesus did not sin. Therefore, he is the pure sacrificial lamb without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God poured his wrath upon Jesus for our sake. He became sin for us. He took the wrath of hell upon himself for us so that we can go to heaven. 1 John 3:5. "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That's why it's possible for Jesus to wash away our sins, because he has no sin in him. If he had fallen in Matthew chapter 4, then he would have sin in him. And guess what? There will be no one to take away our sins. All right. I'll read a couple more. I already read 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He, like Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He was fit to be sacrificed on the cross for our sins. His blood washed away our sins. Here's another one. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? So he had no spot, no sin. He was the pure sacrificial lamb without sin. Why did I mention all that? Okay. Why did I mention that Jesus was the permanent atonement for our sins? Because only sinners go to hell. I prove to you that Jesus did not sin. He has no sin. So who goes to hell? Sinners. Like us, the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And guess what? There's a payback for that sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The payback for sin is death. That's talking about eternal separation from God permanently in the lake of fire. But the gift of God, now guess what? But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loveth the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten son, this sacrificial lamb without blemish and spot, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means anybody, shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't do that, you end up like Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible says, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. So I just proved to you, Jesus doesn't have sin. Where do sinners go? Hell. Because Jesus did no sin, he did not go to hell. Booyah. Okay. Another point. Jesus never saw corruption. Go to Acts 20, chapter 2, verse 27. Now, this is Peter reciting a Bible verse that David was inspired to write in the book of Psalms. It says here, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That's David talking. David is saying, I know you will not leave my soul in hell, because David believed in God. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now notice that Holy One is capitalized. That's Jesus Christ. He did not see the corruption of hell. He didn't burn in it. Also, Jesus was dead for 3 days and rose again on the third day. He willingly gave his life up. Now, why is that significant? Well, Lazarus' body lay dead for 4 days. According to science, on the fourth day, decomposition starts. That's the corruption that's talking about here. Jesus didn't see that. I'm just putting this stuff out. Lazarus' body was seeing corruption big time. It was decaying. But I also believe that it means that Jesus did not see corruption in hell. Okay? So Jesus did not go to hell. So according to science, decomposition starts on the fourth day. Go with me to John chapter 11. Now I'll show you what it's talking about. John chapter 11, verse 17, it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Okay, now look at the decomposition starting. John chapter 11, verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Okay, so Jesus did not see corruption. Lazarus' body was starting to see corruption before he got rose again. Okay, Last point is this. Jesus led the Old Testament saints from paradise into heaven. Luke chapter 16. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. And then we'll just close with this. Hopefully, as I read the Bible, I'll get more ammunition about this. But these are some Bible verses that we can use to shoot down that dumb statement that Jesus went to hell. That's the dumbest thing in the world. Actually, before I read Luke chapter 16, let me stick my finger in there. Place your finger in Luke 16 and go with me to Ephesians. I think it's chapter 4. And this is where they got that whole false notion that, oh, Jesus went to hell and he burned there for a little bit. And then when he rose again, the utter nonsense, because the Bible doesn't say that. And I never believed that. That's just the dumbest thing. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now people are like, oh, see that? He went to hell. He that descended is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So what was going on here? Jesus was going to paradise and releasing the Old Testament saints that were in paradise and bringing them up to heaven. So before the death of the cross, both the lost and the saved went to, as they say, Hades or a Sheol or paradise, although it was divided into the place of torments and paradise. Get that? It was divided into torment and paradise. So at this particular time, there was a place where the Old Testament saints who believed in God, who believe in God, went to paradise. That means they didn't burn up. Their body wasn't left in hell or anything of that nature. And then on the other side, there's a place of torments. That's the bad place. That's hell. Okay? So paradise is also referred to as Abraham's bosom. Okay? Let's go over to Luke chapter 16. And it describes this in detail. Start in verse 19, Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now remember, that's hell. And then when it says here, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, that's paradise. The rich man was in hell, torments. Abraham and Lazarus were in paradise. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. See, Lazarus believed in God. He's comforted and not tormented. The rich man did not believe in God. That's why he dropped dead and go to hell. And beside all things between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot. So he's saying that, hey, even if we could, we can't. Lazarus cannot dip his finger in water and cool your tongue. He can't come across. Neither can they pass to us. They will come from thence. So guys, Lazarus is in hell, and he's separated from. Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Lazarus is with Abraham, and they're separated from the rich man by a huge gulf in between them. So the tormented side is hell, the other side is paradise. Okay? Then said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. So they're trying to bring Lazarus up from the dead to go witness to the rich man's brethren. So this is what Abraham Let me keep reading. For I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now there's other prophets out there that love the Lord, that are preaching the word of God. And he's saying, hey, so they have prophets up there. Let your brothers hear them. And Abraham says, and he said, nay, my father Abraham, but if one went out unto them from the dead, they will repent. That's what the rich man is saying. And Abraham said, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though no one rose from the dead. I find it interesting that Abraham preceded Moses, and yet Abraham knows about Moses. That's very interesting. I'll look into that later on. But so you can see the difference. Paradise, and then that tormented hell. Okay. Now this is where I'm going with this. Okay. Go with me to Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Now, if Jesus went to hell and burned up down there, why did he call this place paradise? Okay, now look what he says to the thieves on the cross. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. Now, malefactors is another name for a criminal. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, this is the other thief or the other criminal. Dost not thou fear God? Now, you see, thy faith had made him whole. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Look what the other thief says. He says, dost not thou fear God? The Bible says, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. What is that talking about? You see, the Bible says, I and the Father are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, you will die in your sins. You see, You see, the thief on the cross believed that Jesus is God. And guess what, folks? It was counted him for righteousness. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly. Now he's saying, hey, we got what we deserve. We're bad guys. That's where we're getting crucified. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Amiss means wrong. And said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. This is what Jesus tells him. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, verily means truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If Jesus went to hell, right, why in the world would he say that? If Jesus went to hell, that means he would have taken that guy to hell with him, and they would have been in pain, in torments. Nope, not true. They went to paradise. As I read in Ephesians chapter 8, going down, Jesus descended to get the Old Testament saints out of paradise and bring them to heaven. That's what we just read in Ephesians chapter 4, 8, coming down about him descending down. So, based on these verses that I've read, Jesus did not go to hell. I hope that was a blessing. Let me see if I can think of anything else. Okay, so let's recap with our points. He was the pure sacrificial lamb. I proved that from the Bible that he had no sin in his life. He did not sin. Even though they tempted him, he did not sin. Because we proved that Jesus wasn't a sinner, we know that he couldn't have gone to hell because sinners go to hell. Everyone has committed a sin. The Bible says that we broke all the commandments. If you broke one, you've broken all. Okay, so sinners go to hell. Okay, and lastly, Jesus descended into paradise to bring the Old Testament saints from paradise into heaven. That's why he told the thief on the cross that, and by the way, for those who say, oh man, I need to get my life cleaned up before I get saved. Hey man, that rich man didn't even have that thief on the cross didn't even have a chance. All right. He just believed right then and there and he got saved. Okay. So that's pretty much it. We recapped. I hope this was a blessing to you. Good night.